Good morning. Well, I'm delighted to be here once again, as usual. And surprise of surprises, I've brought an AFCO student with me again. Today I'm bringing Connie Gomez to share a message with you, and Luis Amanu is accompanying her. So we'll get a chance to meet both of those as we travel through the office here shortly. But Connie, come on up.
Good morning. It is a blessing to be here, a huge blessing. But I want to start off by, let's open our Bibles. We're going to go to Psalms 34. Psalms 34, verse 1. And it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, it's such a privilege to stand here to testify of the wonderful works you have done in my life. Lord, I just want to praise you because each and every one of us in this room have a testimony. And God, as I speak, I ask that you may bring into light all the wonderful miracles, all of the different things that my brothers and sisters are in need to hear, that there is hope. And that your words may be in my mouth, and that you may bless each and every one of us in this moment. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Psalms 34 tells my testimony in a very condensed version. But my name is Connie. I am from LA. And I was abused as a child. I was abused by an elder. Other church. We weren't Adventist at the time. Actually, this elder was giving Bible studies to my mom, and it was very interesting. Very interesting. When that happened, my world just shifted. Paradigm shift that happened. I didn't understand, you know, as a child, you know, something like that traumatic happened. The world does not seem normal to you anymore. You see little girls running around, having the time of their life, but you're just sitting there, just wondering why that happened to you. You're full of fear, full of, you know, paranoia. I suffered through paranoia for many years because of that. Always, you know, even when I was having a conversation with someone, I was looking around, just in case there was someone that was going to do something, I knew my escape route. I formed different strategy plans on how to escape. And one of the things that I learned, really, and I learned how to master, was to run away. I ran away, probably not physically, but when it came to problems, I could not confront them. When that happened, it's interesting how the mind works. We create defense mechanisms. And one of my defense mechanisms was repressing it and acting like it never happened. When I hit teenage years, everything just started coming out. Everything started coming out. I didn't understand why. And I started getting into major depression. I was battling self-esteem issues. I was getting panic attacks. And I was like in this turmoil, like, Lord, what's going on here? Like, what? You know, I'm in the ministry. You know, why is this coming back again? You know, if I just forgot about it, you know, I forgave in my heart. Everything just started coming out. And little by little, the enemy was using that to bring me down. Bring me down to the extent of suicide. You know, I never realized how vivid and how real spiritual warfare is until I actually experienced that moment when I was going to take my life. That moment when you're ready to take your life, everything just flashed back. And the only thing I could see was negative, negative, negative. It's kind of like, what hope is there? You know, for me, my excuse was, there's too much pain to bear. I can no longer handle this. What's the point of living? What's the point of going on with so much pain? There's no point at all. But the Lord had something different. The night that I was supposed to take my life, it's really interesting because your mind knows that it is wrong, but you yourself are pep talking, because I remember I would pep talk myself, you have to do it. You cannot back out on this one. You've run away too long. It's time to just confront this and just end it. And I just remember I was pep talking myself, you have to do this. You have to do this. You have to go through this. But my mind was telling me, no, you can't. You know, it was like not normal. The Lord intervened and said, stop. Stop. And I was like, what is going on? I was like, I thought I was going insane. I was going insane. But the Lord is so good. He kept speaking. And, you know, that night, I put everything down and I was like, fine, Lord. You know, I'll just continue in this misery. That weekend, I went to visit some friends. And, you know, as we were talking, they're like, you know, Connie, you should come to a teen prayer conference. And I was like, a prayer conference? Like, no, that doesn't really work with me. And so, you know, I was like, okay, you know, they're going, I'll go. But the Lord used that. Though mentally I was kind of like, you know, this is just to hang out. The Lord used the teen prayer ministry to, he just literally just, you know, pushed me into ministry. And that was the beginning of a new life. That it was a long process, yes it was. I can't say, you know, this day I healed. But one thing that I've learned, the healing process. Well, yeah, one thing I always learn, you choose how long you want this healing process to take. And I know that for me, I hesitated so much. And I started studying psychology. That was my major for 3 years. You know, just, I'm going to do psychology. You know, you've heard that, you know, many of people that go into psychology is because they've gone through something. And it's true. Most of my friends that were into psychology, they had gone through something traumatic, and they wanted to use, you know, their healing to help others. And so, you know, I got into it, but I had no idea that the Lord put me into psychology to understand what had happened to me, what was happening in my brain, you know, why I acted in a certain way. And, you know, one of the things that I learned was the healing process, you determine how long you want to heal. And I learned that it was so hard to let go. We always say the phrase in a cliche of let go, let God. But we don't understand the concept of letting go. We really don't. We say, I'm going to let go, God. But in reality, you're still holding on to something. You're still holding on to it. It's just words. And for me, it was so hard to let go of something that hurt you, that literally molded you into, you know, this person, this ugly person, full of resentment, full of bitterness. And the one thing I realized, and with encountering so many people, was the letting go part. The letting go part. It says in verse 18 of Psalms 34, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. I know what it is to have a broken heart. I know what it is to have the pieces of your heart all over the floor and you just don't know what your purpose in life is. But did I know that the Lord is that was near? Is near? Yes, I do. Though your life probably not may not seem like everything's well put together, everything does not fit, you should hold on to this promise. I held on to this promise. The promise that the Lord is near to the broken heart. He didn't say the Lord is near to the one that has a perfect heart, that has it all together. It says he's near to the brokenhearted. Probably you're not going through something drastic or traumatic, or, you know, it could be just a small issue. But that small issue could be really big for you. Hold on to the promise that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, to the one that's going through so much turmoil. I held on to that for some time, and I was like, Lord, I need you. Like, I don't know how many tears I shed, but I know it was like a sea. I was just like pouring all the time, at home, in the shower, in the closet. I was just always crying. But I always held to the promise that the Lord is always near. As I was going through my healing process, I was actually reading a book on, you know, the woman heart. And it was a very interesting. It was composed of different stories of women that had been raped, had been abused, had gone through really different things. And there was a story that struck me. And it was a story of this lady that her father abused her. And one of the things that she would do is when she heard her father come, she would run to the closet and hide. I remember I put the book down and I just start feeling weird. And I was like, okay, something's off. And I started like shaking and just really weird. And I started asking the Lord, you know, why am I acting like this? And it hit me. I would do that. I would hide. I would go into the closet. I would go under the bed and just hide. I would just hide. And interesting enough, when I was reading the book, I was in the closet. And I was like, I just couldn't believe how afraid I was. Afraid of man. Afraid of people. And my only refuge was the closet. My only refuge was under the bed. That's the only place I could ever feel protected. But in verse 7, it says, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. And it's interesting how the Lord finds us where we're at. He found me where I was at. He was there in that closet with me. He was under the bed with me. There are so many times that we run away. We run away from problems. We run away from our own lives, our own past. And one of the things I learned was to look at it in the eye and to stay strong and be like, Lord, you go before me and you go after me. And it wasn't the easiest process. It really wasn't. With the Lord, I could not go to a psychologist because I felt too ashamed. You know, when you go through something like that, you feel like your problems it's little compared to other people's. And I felt ashamed. I felt disgusted to even talk about it to someone else. So I told the Lord, Lord, if you're everything, then you're going to be my counselor. When you tell the Lord to be your counselor, just get ready. Because he will take you back. He had to literally drag me sometimes to go back and face it, to relive each moment. And to this day, I can go back and not regret what had happened. I can now say to people, and you know, people ask me, you know, if you can change anything in your life, what would it be? And I can look back now and be like, nothing. Because God used that incident to where I'm at now. You know, one thing that one thing that Americans say is, you know, freedom. You know, we're free, the land of the free. I never understood the concept of what freedom is. You know, we never really went through the slavery era. But there is a spiritual and emotional slavery. And I never understood what freedom is until the Lord taught me there is freedom. You can be free. And I was like, okay, I want this freedom. Let's see how it feels. And it was the most amazing. It's, to this day, it's still amazing to experience what freedom is, to feel like you're soaring, to feel that nothing can hold you back now. I had to confront this man in February of this year. One morning, my mom came to my bed, and she's like, "Honey, the Lord impressed me that you should go and we should go and fix this." And I turned to her, I was like, "Are you kidding me? Like, it's been I don't know how many years. Like, I've forgiven him in my heart." And then she's like, "No, no. This time, the Lord really wants you to be free." And I'm like going everywhere, going, I look nuts. I was crazy, like, what? I was hyperventilating. I was like, I can't do this. And the Lord just told me, you know, trust in me. You need this. If you really want to experience freedom, you need to do this. So I was like, okay, Lord, you're going to have to protect me. I was like, put a whole mess of angels around me. Do everything you need to do. And, you know, that is one of the sweetest moments I've ever had. Sweetest moments. Most peacefulest moments ever. The fact that I'm looking at the man that had damaged me, that had scarred me for so many years, the fact that I can stand on my 2 feet and really look and say, I'm, you know, forgive me, I'm sorry. He could actually say that to me. And I'm just like, what? Like, and I can say, I forgive you. I forgive you. And we were able to pray. We were able to restore that. And for me, it was kind of like, I was blown away. The power of God. The power of healing. Freedom is something that most of us have not experienced. We just have not experienced. I never knew that. I was not free. I was actually chained up for so many years, and I had no idea. And so many of us in the room don't know what freedom is either. The reality is, you know, we're bind up to our past. We have not truly forgiven. We truly have not let go. But I'm here not because, you know, I'm perfect. No. No, no, no. But I'm here because the Lord was able to do something through me to give someone else hope. And I don't know who in this room, but I know there's someone here that wants to experience freedom. And I can tell you, I'm a living testimony of the power of God. I really am. I see how He just led me through miracle after miracle, miracle after miracle. The fact that I'm still standing, to me, it's a miracle. To me, it's a miracle. I'm here to give you hope that there's hope in God, that there is a possibility for you to be free, to experience freedom, to really experience what peace is, to be okay within your own body, not feel sick of yourself. But you can actually feel comfortable being who you are, who God made you. And remember Psalms 34. Psalms 34 is the Lord delivered me from all my fears. That psalm is my testimony, and it could be your testimony too. It said, and verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." I see and I taste him every day. Every time I wake up, it's a miracle that I'm alive. It's a miracle that I'm alive. And I taste and I see. When I think of taste, I think of food. Yeah. But to taste, you know, God is so sweet. He's so sweet. May this be our prayer today. Lord, I want to taste you. You know, I want to get that feeling. I just want to, you know, that there's just that tingling taste. I want to see you. So, you know, it's just amazing. When you claim this, I promise you, you will taste him and you will see him. Only if you trust him. Blessed is a man who trusts in him. He will taste and see him. That's the whole concept of letting go, is trust. To trust him, you're going to taste and see him. Just let go. It's easier said than be done, but it's possible. If I could do it, I'm really weak, super weak, but if I could do it, you can do it. You can do it. But you can only do it with Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It is only him that we get strength to do things. And though you think you're really weak, cling to that promise. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Then, I promise you, you'll taste and see, and your life will just shift. You'll have new meaning. Your purpose in life will be like never before. I'm just an instrument that the Lord has put here. And you can be a potential instrument if you let yourself go. Let us have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I just want to thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to share with my brothers and sisters of the wonderful things you have done in my life. Thank you, Father, because we can taste and see you. Thank you, Lord, because you've given us this promise to claim. And God, today I ask for that individual in this room that is longing to taste and see God, that is longing for freedom, that's longing to have peace. And God, I just ask that you may reveal yourself to them. As the psalmist says, be still and know that I am God. Help us to be still in the midst of the storm and the turmoil. Help us to be still that we may know you. May you pour a blessing over Amazing Facts, the staff, and each and every one here, and they're representing each family, Father. I ask that you may protect them and that you may go about with them during this day. Thank you so much, Father, for hearing this prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Connie. Have a great Thursday. God bless you.